The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Gross & Schuster.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk with Meg. And super happy to have my friend here with me, attorney Terrence Gross with Gross & Schuster. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I'm on my speakerphone. Is this good?
It sounds very good to me, actually. How are you doing today, Terry?
Awesome. Doing well. I had a long vacation. Back and getting back in the saddle and ready to discuss some cutting-edge topics with you.
Okay. Well, he is our expert. This is an expert panel, and he is our expert on especially personal injury law. We had several discussions the last couple of weeks. You've been talking about uninsured motorists and some of those things, so that's been very informative. If you have a question for him, you can always text it in as we go through our conversation this morning at 850-437-1620. So what would you like to address today, sir?
Well, right now the legislature is meeting in Tallahassee, and it's fast and furious. And, you know, every time of this time of the year, every year, there's usually some major changes, good, bad, or ugly, as to the laws that affect and apply to personal injury cases. An ongoing battle in the legislature is sort of twofold. First of all, there's obviously 50 states in the United States. 48 of those states have a minimum bodily injury limit of $25,000. So, you know, Georgia's 25, Alabama's 25, Louisiana's 25. Most of our sister states, we're still only a $10,000 bodily injury limit state. And there's some other state that must be $10,000 as well. And that's kind of antiquated. I mean, I became a lawyer in 1979, and the limits were 10. So 10 does, you know, it's just deadly squat. Especially, you go by ambulance to the ER, and your bills are going to be more than 10,000. So there's this big move to push it to 25,000 like everybody else. But there's always this brokering. Every time any kind of law, whether it's state or federal, if they try to do something, then someone says, okay, I'll vote for it, but you got to do this. So what they want to do is the latter no-fault law, or what we call personal injury protection, and the insurance companies hate it because you can be minding your own business, you're at a red light, you're the safest driver in the world, and yet some little girl texting can rear-end you. And then they have to pay the first $10,000 of your medical bills. So the insurance companies have never liked it. So what they're trying to lobby and saying, okay, we'll go with the mandatory 25 bodily injury, but we want you to do away with no fault. And that law actually, it passed. It passed, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, and then Governor DeSantis vetoed it. And the reason he vetoed it, because he was also being pushed, there's all kinds of lobbies out there. But another strong lobby in the state of Florida are the hospitals. And sometimes the hospitals depend on that no fault, that $10,000, because there's still people out there that don't have health insurance, despite Obamacare, despite all the publicity. And I see people in here, I don't know what the numbers are, but it wouldn't surprise me if 30% of our population have no health insurance, or if they do, like Medicaid. Medicaid is barely any insurance. It's just a placebo insurance, really. And that's why so many doctors don't take Medicaid, because they have to write off 90% of their bills. So hospitals know that the only way they can get a little bit of compensation back, because they can't turn you away. So if you end up by ambulance at the ER, they can't say, oh, you don't have health insurance, we're not going to admit you. No, they have to admit you. And if you need surgery, they got to do surgery and put plates and screws. You may be in the hospital for weeks, and they know you don't have health insurance. They know they'll never be paid, but that's just the way the American system works. So the no fault, at least the $10,000 is something. So that's what motivated Governor DeSantis last time around. So that's what's sort of being spinning now too. This whole $25,000, which we should do. I mean $10,000 is, I mean, it's just, it's so, again, I mean, if we go back in time, I mean, if you're old enough, we used to pay 29 cents a gallon for gas.
Not anymore.
And all that. But, you know, so, not anymore. And we know that medical bills have gone up. There's been inflation, everything. We've talked about eggs, you know, so whatever. So, of course, the medical bills have gone up. So, anyway, that's one of the things that is being pushed currently. Right now, as we speak, I think the legislature is supposed to end their session, unless they go into a special session. I think it ends May 22nd. So we're right down to the wire now. And I know this is a hot topic, depending on what side of the fence you're on. Another topic that's come up is, of course, we all are acutely aware of homeowners insurance. I mean, it is a crisis, and everybody's finger pointing at everybody. Some people are just blaming the amount of storms and global warming. Some people are blaming the lawyers, you know, that the lawyers are sue happy, and that the lawyers, all these lawsuits have cost the insurance companies extra money, and therefore they're going to make that up on premiums. And then, of course, there's insurance companies, and many of us who have experienced big claims after hurricanes know how you get jerked around by your own insurance. You sit there and do the right thing. You pay all this money. You accept their deductibles, and then they don't want to pay for this. They don't want to pay for that, and you're forced to get a lawyer, whether you like it or not. So there's a lot of that going on right now. So two or three years ago, they passed a law that limited attorney's fees on hurricane claims. And what the legislature is acutely aware about is, name the person who says that my homeowner's insurance has gone down the past two or three years. No one. Now, the insurance company says, oh, it takes time for it to filter in, and eventually you'll get savings. That's a bill of goods. That's a bill of goods. So what the insurance companies did with the lobby is they limited the amount of attorney's fees that lawyers could get on hurricane claims, but yet did not pass any of that savings onto the consumer. Because everybody I know, including myself, and I own multiple properties, every single year my windstorm and all that goes up every single year. And when I say goes up, it's not going up 1, 2, or 3%. You know, 10%, 15%, 20% is not uncommon. So there is a problem. So they're trying to, we have reached a homeowner's crisis. In fact, I'll tell you something I'm learning. You also follow the stock market. And I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal, and most of us don't think about this, but there are like hedge funds and big entities with a lot of cash, and what they try to do is they try to buy homes like in Florida, and you know they're not mom and pops, but they either rent them out or VRBO or something, so they become cash cows. And now a lot of these hedge funds are selling all the property in Florida because the homeowners insurance has taken away all the profits. They can't. The numbers don't work anymore. And I see that. I mean, you know, I have a very nice home in Gulf Breeze, but I don't mind sharing this with you. I mean, I'll be very candid, but my homeowners policy in Gulf Breeze, Florida, I'm paying $44,000 a year for just insurance. I'm not talking about property taxes or electric bill or maintenance. I'm paying $44,000, and it's not fully covered. That's not that's with high deductibles. And again, I live on the water. I live in Gulf Breeze, and you know, and I've always believed that if you play, you pay. So nobody made me live on the water. And I know I have to foot a certain bill, but you know, back in Ivan, that bill was $10,000 20 years ago. Now it's $44,000.
Terry, I've got somebody on the line that had a question for you this morning.
Sure.
Okay. David, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can y'all hear me okay? It's also Ozzy.
Okay. Can you hear him, Terry?
Sure.
Okay, great. So you're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Our expert today is Terrence Gross. He's an attorney with Gross and Schuster. So go ahead and what's your question?
Good morning, Terry. It's Ozzy, and I've been enjoying the show. And let me just start out by saying, anybody listening out there, if you need a lawyer, I highly recommend Terry. I've had personal experience with him. I was in a car wreck, and I had a lot of people asking me to sign a lot of documents and a lot of people kind of coming at me from all different directions, wanting statements and this, that, and the other thing. And I'm kind of old school where, you know, I was like, well, I don't want to get a lawyer. I don't want to, you know, sue. I don't want to do this. But in today's society, it is so litigious that you really need to just go ahead and get a lawyer. And I felt so much better when I went and talked to Terry. And then from then on, all these people wanting all these things. He said, anybody else ask you a question, you tell them to contact me. And it was a real relief to me knowing, hey, all these different people wanting all these different things, you call my lawyer, you know, and that it was really good, and it made me feel a lot better, and it worked out a lot better for me to have someone representing my interests. So like I was saying, if you need a lawyer, you think you need a lawyer, you probably do, so give Terry a call.
That's a wonderful testimonial. Thank you so much for that, Terry.
I have a question, too. I wanted to get that out of the way, but I have an insurance question for you, Terry, if you got a second.
Sure.
Okay, so I've got a boat that sits on a trailer, not worth a whole lot, you know, probably around $40,000, boat, motor, trailer, everything. I keep insurance on it, and one of the things that the insurance company always wants to know is, you know, where is the boat stored? And I give them the address, you know, it's a residence in Gulf Breeze, you know, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of times when I have a big hurricane heading this way, because Gulf Breeze has a lot of trees, I don't have any rotten trees in my area, but the neighbors might have a rotten tree. And even without rotten trees, you never know what's going to happen. A limb could come off and damage the boat. So in the past, I have often trailered the boat not far from my residence, but like, say, to a real open area. For example, Baptist Hospital, which is in Gulf Breeze. There's a big open lot there. There's no trees anywhere around. And I always felt like it was safer to have it there because there's nothing to fall over on it. But now, after I thought about it, I was thinking that the insurance might say, let's say somehow, for some reason, some stray piece of brick or something flew into the boat and damaged it severely. Would the insurance be able to deny my claim because they say, well, you stated that the boat was stored on your property and the damage didn't actually happen on your property. So I'm wondering if I'm undermining myself, if you see where I'm coming from.
No, I don't think you are. That's pretty smart. Ozzy, I actually had an insurance policy. I don't have it now, but the one before on my boat, they said if there was a named storm in the Gulf, that I had to move my boat 10 miles north of the coast. I go, what? I thought he'd cancel that. I certainly want to keep my boat safe, but where is this place 10 miles? And then you worry about theft. I mean, if you tow it to some empty lot somewhere, how do you know some people aren't going to strip all your electronics out or something? I mean, because you're at some weird place. So, yeah, I didn't like that, but I think you're okay on that. I think if you're taking precautions, that's commendable, and you would be victorious if they tried to challenge that. I mean, because all you're trying to do is avoid damage, which they should appreciate.
Exactly, and I'm not taking it very far from the listed residence. It's probably less than 2 miles or, you know, a mile and a half, so it's not very far from the listed residence. And on a side note, I do always pull the prop because I'm like you, you know, I'm a little worried, you know, if you leave something out away from your residence, that something might happen. And it's not too hard to pull a prop. And those are things that are sometimes stolen. But that answers my question. And I'm enjoying the show. And I'll let you go on with your insurance. And I also echo what you're saying about the homeowner's insurance. I don't know if there's something we can do, vote in legislators that are going to do a better job for us or what. But you know, it's getting ridiculous. It has gotten ridiculous. And I know you're really feeling the brunt of that where you live. But even people that are living in flood zone X in places that I've never even had a claim, the insurance rates are just going up and up and up. And I think it's just because I happen to reside in Florida. And it's I don't know what the solution is, but I hope that our legislators and our voters can and the insurance companies can come together and do something to rein it in.
Well, I appreciate your caller, Ozzie. And one last piece of advice is keep your lines tight. Keep those lines tight, man.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Thanks
enjoy
for calling
show.
In, Ozzie. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. If you just joined us, we're talking with Terrence Gross with Gross & Schuster, 850-437-1620. If you have a text or would like to call in to ask him a question. So that was interesting, Terry.
Yeah, I've known Ozzy a long time, and he's an old-time Gulf Breeze. I'm a newcomer. I've lived in Gulf Breeze since 78, and he's probably born there. But nice fella, and yeah. So anyway, so the legislature meets every year, and probably the most powerful lobby in the state is the insurance lobby. And not only is it state money, when they really want something big, State Farm, Allstate, Nationwide, USA, they pull money from out of state. If it's that important to them, sometimes when they're trying to get amendments passed or laws passed, they have money coming in from outside the state part, just to try to push this through. And I'll never forget being a freshman at FSU Law School, and, you know, it's a college town and da-da-da and whatever, and all of a sudden March hit, and we were inundated. You couldn't get a reservation at a restaurant or anything like that because the legislature came. And you got to see the lobby and people every night eating out and drinking and wining and dining, and all their tabs are picked up by these lobbyists. And that could be for the insurance industry or whatever. So, yes, the lawyers have a lobby, but it pales in comparison to the might and power of the insurance industry. And that's why they usually get their way and you get all these laws passed. Because it's not a bilateral situation, it's unilateral.
Do you think there's a value for listeners if they wanted to write to their legislatures about this, their legislative representatives about this issue?
Truthfully, no. mean, it sounds good. It'll make you feel good, maybe, but
mm-hmm.
No.
No.
because, again, they're whining. If you went out, I'm telling you, any decent restaurant, you couldn't even get into it. I mean, it's continual. There's these lobbyists. They could be lawyers. They may not be lawyers. Well, whoever they are, they make $200,000 or $300,000 a year to schmooze, and they're good to schmooze with these legislators and court them, and they may take them on duck hunting trips and fishing trips and God knows what. You know, all the perks that they can get away with. And so forth, but these major lobbies are just crazy.
Well, we've got quite a few minutes left here. Is there something that you wanted to touch about again this morning?
Well, yes, there's another one. I'm still on the same topic. Another thing that I do like that's happening. So I've been a lawyer since 79. In the early 70s, the legislature passed what was called the Sovereign Immunity Act. And the Sovereign Immunity Act basically said that if you're injured by, like, a sheriff's deputy, if you're injured by any elected official's office, any political office, it could be the school board, it could be, I've had cases against the property appraiser, the clerk of the courts, those type of things. They all have vehicles that do cause wrecks. Sheriff's deputies and policemen cause wrecks. Well, the Sovereign Immunity Statute, when first put out, said that no matter what the injuries were, the most the sovereign would ever have to pay is $100,000. So someone was killed by a sheriff's deputy, $100,000. They amended that about 10 or 12 years ago to go to $200,000. Well, that's better than $100,000. I just represented a family that lost their 26-year-old son who was on a motorcycle, had just finished 6 years in the Air Force, and a school bus driver on Highway 98 didn't see him, pulled right out from in front of him. He T-bugged him. He died at the scene, and all we can get was $200,000. And so now they are trying to move that cap to $500,000. So, well, $200 is better than $100, and $500 is better than $200. But they do have, you know, these are just things that are going on. These are things that the average Joe Q public just doesn't know. So the legislators meeting, and then all of a sudden these laws are passed. I know that they're trying to reduce the gun ownership age. It was 18. It went to 21. Now they're trying to go back to 18. I'm not a fan of that. I mean, I understand the Second Amendment, but everything has limitations. You wouldn't let a three-year-old have a gun, would you? So I just think at 18, you don't have the maturity of a 21-year-old. But I think their argument is, and it's not a bad argument, if you could be in the military and fight for your country at 18, you have to obviously use weapons if you're in the military, then you should be allowed to own guns. So I guess that's their biggest argument. But it just seems like with all these shooters that go on, we just had a shooting at FSU. I mean, let's be honest, most of these shooters, if you look at them, they're all the same. They're all young white males is what they are. I mean, across America. I mean, everyone, Cruz, that was at Parkland, was a 17, 18-year-old young man. And you just look around, and it's like the same denominator every time. So I'm all about the Second Amendment. I just don't think there has to be limitations of it. You can't carry a gun on an airplane. I mean, rightfully so. I mean, so we do have limitations. But now I think people feel we're taking a step backwards, that we're going from, it went from 18 to 21 after Parkland, really. It was motivated by Parkland, really, because that kid, Cruz, in Parkland owned lots of weapons. And this guy was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I mean, everybody knew he was nuts. Yet he was allowed to legally buy guns. So, no, you can't prevent all the gun violence. I think this kid at in Tallahassee, I believe he is 21 maybe, and I believe he actually usurped his mother's weapons, who was a sheriff's deputy. That really wouldn't have precluded that event. But if you save any lives, I'm for it.
It'll be interesting to see. I believe it was a bill proposed by Michelle Salzman. And so my understanding, it's passed in the representatives and has gone on to the Senate. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that particular legislation.
Yeah, it's probably going to be passed. I think just given there's another powerful lobby. The NRA is a tremendous national lobby. And, there's just not enough folks. Otherwise, they could write Salzman. They could do this. You can even go to Tallahassee, but it's really, really hard to get a foothold against these strong lobbies.
Terry, you've got about a minute left. You want to give out your phone number, website, so folks can get in touch with you in case they want to follow up with you on some of these legal issues?
Sure, yeah, and we are a personal injury law firm. We primarily handle car wrecks. I'm in practice with my three sons. We have five locations, Pensacola, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, and Navarre. Our Pensacola phone number is 850-434-3333. And our website is grossandschuster.com. It's very informational. Many of the topics that you and I have talked about in the past are on our website.
All right. It's been talking with Terrence Grosser. He's an attorney with Gross and Schuster. So always so interesting and informative when you're on the show, Terry. I sure do appreciate you and your input. And thanks to our callers and folks that texted in. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. We'll be back again with you tomorrow morning, bright and early, right here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Thanks, Terry.